1. St. Nick. Zeke Morgan sat attentively on the front row of the little sanctuary of the Church of the Pure Christ in Eden, North Carolina. He did not fidget, though he had two itches, one on his foot and one on his eyebrow. He knew the eyebrow itch was from a fly that had landed there. The foot itch, too, probably, though he did not look down to see whether anything was crawling there. He did not look out the windows at the falling snow. He did not glance to left or right, not even to glare at parents of the crying baby in the row behind him. It was for others to judge whether it was more important for the parents to stay and hear the sermon or leave and preserve the stillness of the meeting. Zeke was the minister's son, and he knew his duty. Reverend Habit Morgan stood at the small pulpit, really an old dictionary stand picked up at a library sale. No doubt the dictionary that had once rested on it had been replaced by a computer. Just one more sign of the degradation of the human race to worship the false god of tamed lightning. They think because they have pulled the lightning from the sky and contained it in their machines, they are gods now, or the friends of gods. Do they not know that the only thing written by lightning is fire? Yea, I say unto you, it is the fire of hell, and the gods they have befriended are devils. It had been one of Father's best sermons. He gave it when Zeke was 3, but Zeke had not forgotten a word of it. Zeke did not forget a word of anything. As soon as he knew what words were, he remembered them. But he did not tell Father that he remembered. Because when Mother realized that he could repeat whole sermons word for word, she told him, very quietly but very intensely, "This is a great gift that God has given you, Zeke. But you must not show it to anyone, because some might think it comes from Satan." "Does it?" Zeke had asked. "Come from Satan?" "Satan does not give good gifts," said Mother. "So it comes from God." "Then why would anyone think it comes from Satan?" She frowned her forehead, though her lips kept their smile. Her lips always smiled when she knew anyone was looking. It was her duty as the minister's wife to show that the pure Christian lift made one happy. "Some people are looking so hard to find Satan," she finally said, "that they see him even where he isn't." Naturally, Zeke remembered this conversation word for word. So it was there in his mind when he was 4, and Father said, "There are those who will tell you that a thing is from God when it's really from the devil."
"Why, Father?"
"They are deceived," said Father, "by their own desire. They wish the world were a better place, so they pretend that polluted things are pure, so they don't have to fear them." Ever since then, Zeke had balanced these two conversations, for he knew that Mother was warning him about Father, and Father was warning him about Mother. It was impossible to choose between them. He did not want to choose. Still, he never let Father see his perfect memory. It was not a lie, however. If Father ever asked him to repeat a conversation or a sermon or anything at all, Zeke would do it, and honestly, showing that he knew it word for word. But Father did not ask anybody anything, except when he asked God, which he had just done. Standing there at the pulpit, glaring out at the congregation, Father said, "What about Santa Claus? Saint Nick? Is he the same thing as old Nick? Does he have anything to do with Christ? Is our worship pure when we have this old Saint Nick in our hearts? Is he really jolly? Does he laugh because he knows he is leading our children down to hell?" He glared around the congregation as if waiting for an answer. And finally, someone gave the only answer that was appropriate for this point in the sermon. "Brother Habit, we don't know. Would you ask God and tell us what he says? Whereupon Father roared out, God in heaven, thou knowest our question. Tell us thine answer. We, thy children, ask thee for bread, O Father. Do not give us a stone. Then he gripped the pulpit, the dictionary stand, which trembled under his hands, and continued glaring upward. Zek knew that when Father looked upward like that, he did not see the roof beams or the ceiling above them. He was staring into heaven, demanding that all those hurrying angels get out of his way so his gaze could penetrate all the way to God and demand his attention, because it was his right. Ask and it shall be given, God had promised. Knock and it shall be opened. Well, Habit Morgan was knocking and asking, and it was time for God to open and give. God could not break his word, at least not when Habit Morgan was holding him to it. But God took his own sweet time, which was why Zek was sitting there on the front row with Mother and his three younger siblings beside him, all perched on chairs so wobbly they showed the slightest trace of movement. The other children were young, and their fidgets were forgiven. Zek was determined to be pure, and his wobbly chair might have been made of stone for all the movement it made. When Father stared into heaven this long, it was a test. Maybe it was a test given by God, or maybe Father had already received his answer. Received it perhaps the night before when he was writing this sermon, and so the test was from him. Either way, Zek would pass this test as he passed all the tests laid before him. The long minutes dragged. One itch would fade only to be replaced by another. Father still stared into heaven. Zek ignored the sweat trickling down his neck. And behind him, somewhere among the 73 members of the congregation who had come today, Zek hadn't counted them, he had only glanced, but as usual he immediately knew how many there were, someone shifted in his seat. Someone coughed. It was the moment Father, or God, had been waiting for.